Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show, Say What? What's that woman saying? When? Where? And the question I've asked my whole life, why? And this week, as I was driving up to Pasadena to see my grandson, who's enrolled in Occidental College there, I saw a big billboard on the 605 freeway. And it said in huge letters, "Who is Jesus?" Boy, I thought to myself, this is about the biggest question anybody could ask today. Because if everyone knew who Jesus really is, it would change everything on this planet that we call Earth. Now, probably everybody would agree that Jesus is you know, came from God and is the Son of God. I mean, even Muslims and Jewish people agree to that. Even the Quran states that Jesus and his disciples were Muslims in their heart because they submitted to God and preached his message and upheld his values, which includes praying, charity, fasting, and pilgrimage. And the Jews believed that Jesus was a messenger also, like Moses or Abraham, but they have decided to still continue wait for the Messiah. Where the problem has been that has caused division among the people of the earth is that Christians say that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. In other words, there was only one, and it was Jesus. But if you think about that, then what are we? I mean, if I'm not a son of God, then who or what am I? You know, no wonder so many people have no idea what they really are. Because they don't know who Jesus is. So perhaps if you ask your pastor, he would tell you that you are a child of God. And here's the problem. Believe me, that's what they want to keep you being, as a child, just sitting there in your high chair called a pew, being spoon-fed a bunch of doctrines of men, which make you afraid to ask any other questions about anything. Just sit there and wait to die to go to heaven, because in heaven, you will get everything that you want. You will be rich. You will walk on streets of gold. You'll live in a mansion. You won't be sick anymore. You won't be sad anymore. And you won't have to work anymore. And you'll finally be happy. Which, that doctrine isn't very much different from the Muslim doctrine, where they are taught they will all get to go to heaven and they'll get a big reward and all the sex they want. And I'm sure you've heard it preached in church, that to enter the kingdom of God, of heaven, you must be like a little child. Well, the first thing, my show tonight is 10 things you need to know today to begin to live in the new heaven and the new earth that is here and now. So the first thing you need to know today is that you're not to stay a little child. You're to grow up and become a son of God. Because God is looking for sons, plural. He didn't have just one. We all are sons of God. And God is looking for sons of God who will live the life that Jesus lived. Jesus came here to show us what a son of God is and what a son of God does. And so now, while we are a little child, we do need to have rules and regulations in our life. You know, our parents wouldn't let us play with a loaded gun, for instance. But when we grow up and we learn how to use a gun, we can then have a loaded gun because we'll use it properly. It wasn't that the loaded gun was bad. our parents just knew that in our childishness and our immaturity, we could get hurt. And so when we are little godlings, you know, God's little children, learning about the kingdom of God and its principles, perhaps it's okay to give us an idea of a heaven where everything is perfect and filled with love and there aren't any needs or hurts, because after all, as human parents, we teach our children about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. And while we are children, perhaps it's all right for us to have a concept of hell where we would be punished, because we know that we're not perfect yet and we still make mistakes, and parents have the responsibility to teach their children right and wrong behavior. And so that's part of being a child. And perhaps it's okay to soothe a child with the idea that it maybe wasn't all their fault, that they were tempted to do wrong by the devil. But these are all childish concepts, and we are not to stay a little child. Do you know how sad it makes God feel to look at the family and see all of these adult children sitting on the pew, sucking their thumb and being spoon-fed these childish messages? We are to grow up and become a full-grown son of God and begin doing all the things that Jesus did. And we learn that there is no Santa Claus. Santa Claus was our mother and our father who loved us and wanted to give us special gifts and presents at Christmas. And when we come up and grow up and become a fully functioning adult son of God, and we acknowledge that heaven was just the Santa Claus we learned about as a child, and now we know that our parents were Santa Claus, and now we know that we can enter into the kingdom of God here on earth now, becoming a son of God that heals the sick, opens blind eyes, opens deaf ears, feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, stills the storm, can walk on water, transports from one place to another by a thought, transcends different dimensions, talks to the dead, raises the dead, and can resurrect ourselves into immortal life and then take our place within the universe's hierarchy, just like Jesus did. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the sovereign Son of God who is running this universe. But there are many other universes being created each and every day that are going to need someone to run them. So you could start by quit going to church and becoming the church yourself. And last week I talked about how to do that, and I gave you a list of all the jobs that are available. So the number one thing you need to know today is grow up. There is no Santa Claus. God is yearning for the manifestation of his sons. Hear that call today and begin your journey into adulthood, living in the kingdom of God now. Now, the number two thing you need to know today is that you are a sovereign, sentient being. Being a sentient being means you have feelings. And these feelings operate out of our heart. And our feelings work together with our thoughts, which operate out of our brain. And together, our thoughts and our feelings are creating our life, moment by moment. So we're energy. We are a big, Einstein said, a big bundle of energy operating in an immense void. Emotion, E stands for energy, and motion is the way the energy works. And this immense void where we're operating is this our field of all possibilities. Dr. Deepak Chopra calls this void the gap, because in the gap, we can create anything. And we're creating the motion, all the actions in our lives with the energy that we are. We are emotion. We're sentient. We feel. And when our feelings have been bruised or hurt or depressed or suppressed, we're crippled in the use of our energy. But we can be released from these pains and hurts and traumas and have our heart filled with just the pure energy of love. We start by loving ourselves and being true to ourselves and beginning to live our life as an authentic person. Now, the number three thing you need to know today is that you have free will. You choose what you want in your life. And if you don't like what you have in your life, then make a new choice. You are the author and the finisher of everything. You write the play. We write the play. We star in the play. And we are the audience. We are the judge, jury, and hangman. We have free will. And this is a free will planet. This planet is a key place in the universe. I like to call Earth a hot piece of real estate in God's multiple listing directory. Because there are other types of planetary experiences in the vast universe where our solar system dwells. There's other planets where it's more architectural and where life is more structured and less volatile. But on a free will planet, God has no preferences because life is just a pure adventure. God can only have the experience of an adventurous life on a place where creatures have free will. And you know what? Nothing on this planet ever has to be done the same way twice, because we can change anything anytime we want. And also, love experienced in a free will zone is so much deeper and much more satisfying than it is in a pre-planned and predestined environment. And since so many of us perhaps have come from these other types of pre-planned and predestined environments, it's a whole new experience for us to be on a planet of free will. And people do try to set up those predestined environments that they've been used to. But on a free will planet, there's always that element of spontaneity that's going to cause a ripple in all the energy fields. And then all the plans of mice and men go down the drain. I've married couples where the marriages have been arranged. There's no expression of passion in these marriages. In most cases, they don't even kiss. I sometimes think perhaps they're meeting for the first time. And our crisis management system we have in operation is in total conflict with an environment of free will. Something happens because of a set of circumstances, and then management will set up a whole new system to deal with that particular type of situation that'll probably never happen again. And this is how we've gotten into this mess of so many rules and regulations that we have today, trying to control a free will environment, because you just can't do it. The only way to control a free will environment is for each and every person to create a personal value system and to live their life according to their own personal value system, a value system that's based upon love, forgiveness, charity, and authenticity could work. Each person in honor preferring the other person, respecting and valuing the other person's free will as much as they value and respect their own free will. This could work. God sees everything that happens in a free will zone as a pure adventure. Just think about it. God sees me as an adventure in human living. And God sees you as an adventure in human living. Look at your life and see what kind of adventure you're giving to God. Because everything in a free will zone, everyone in a free will zone creates everything that happens in that place. Everyone in a free will zone has to choose everything for his or her life. And not choosing is making a choice. We've created evil so we can know what good is. And we've created bad so we can feel good. Because Shakespeare said there's nothing good or evil of itself, just thinking makes it so. So God is experiencing the adventure of the alcoholic, the prostitute, the homosexual, the clerk at McDonald's, the executive of a huge corporation, the liberal, the conservative, the black person, the Muslim, the woman. God is in us, and we are part of God, and we are in interaction with each other. Now, if you don't think this is fair, then the next time you incarnate, you can tell the board of entities that you want to go to a controlled, predetermined architectural planet. But personally, I love being on this adventure, and I could never go back now to a controlled situation. I love the pleasure of making my own choices, and I'm willing to accept the responsibility for making my own choices. And having pleasure in your choices makes it possible to be released from any regrets, all feelings of failure, and any judgments, because we can embrace everything that has ever happened in our lives, the good times, the bad times, the up times, the down times. They are all the riches of our adventure as a human being. And it all makes God richer in the experience as us. And all things are working together for the highest good of all, and all means everyone on the planet, because we can't separate ourselves from the others who live here, no matter where they are or what they're doing, because we're all just one big creation, and we are all co-creating our life together. Dr. Deepak Chopra says that as you increasingly begin to manifest what you want, your sense of being a creator steadily enlarges until you eventually realize that everything is available to you. This is a state of total freedom, a total expression of yourself as a sovereign, sentient being. Pretty much no longer being a human, you become a galactic being. You can become whatever we want to be, and do whatever we want to do. Now, the number four thing you need to know today is that you can live your life in health and not be sick. A son of God knows that all dis-ease is a manifestation of some thought or feeling that we have. The body's a neutral place, and the body only reflects what's going on in all the other parts of ourselves, our thoughts and our actions. And when we begin to grow up and we learn that our salvation includes health and riches now, well, see, we no longer need to just sit on the pew and wait to die to go to heaven, because heaven is right here, right now. Jesus used the keys of the kingdom to overcome sin, the devil, and death. And now he's given those keys to us. And the key to health is coming into oneness with God's Spirit within you, and then God's Spirit will lead you into everything you need to know for your body so that you won't get sick. Now, this path to physical wholeness is filled with thousands of ways to do it, and you'll find the one that is best for you. I've tried a lot of different things, various eating programs, various meditation programs, various religious rituals, just lots and lots and lots of different things at different times. But today, I am totally one with God to the point that I live in the fullness of God's Spirit, and I no longer need to do a lot of these structured programs, because I just live in the moment, and the wisdom and the knowledge that I need in this moment is revealed. It's just a wonderful way to live. I am healthy, and I don't take any medications, because as I have one by one integrated every thought and every action with the truth of who I am, my body just has become the natural and eternal expression of who I am, and it mostly just works perfectly. I was so thrilled this week when my youngest daughter had told me that my granddaughter asked her to take her to Trader Joe's to get some health food, and she wants to begin to eat better. this is an opening of her awareness that she is in charge of her body, and she's beginning to love herself more. And our body can change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You can be diagnosed as going to die in a week, and in a moment, all that can be changed. I suggest that you read Dr. Candace Pert's, P-E-R-T, her book on called Molecules of Emotion, because she goes into how our feelings create our body. She is a PhD biologist geneticist, and she proved in the laboratory that our physical body is a manifestation of our thoughts and our feelings. It's just a fascinating book. But when she began to publish her research, all of her funds were cut off, and she was ostracized from the mainstream because the pharmaceutical companies are the ones who fund most research, and they didn't want the people to know that they could create wellness and not be sick. Their monetary profits are inextricably tied to us being sick, and you're being manipulated by them every day with all their advertisements as they continue to create new diseases so that they can sell you their drugs. You know what? You can release yourself from their grip. Do you know that way back in the 30s, there was an inventor named Royal Raymond Rife? And he discovered that there is a unique electronic signature for each specific disease. And you could vibrate that disease's own distinct frequency pattern, and you could interrupt it and destroy it, and the person would be healed. You know, this sounds a lot better to me than drugs and surgery. Just tone a sound. But the AMA took a gigantic cohesive action against him, had his laboratory burned down, and put him out of business. And he died penniless, discredited, and in shame. And this is what has happened to every single person who's ever come up with any kind of real progress in the world of science and medicine for true cures. They don't want you to get well. They make money on you if you are sick. And all money given to cancer research is to try to find the cancer sooner, because every person has cancer at one time or another in their body. So if the medical profession can find it sooner, then there's a whole bunch more people they can put on chemotherapy and radiation. Today's cancer research is not looking for a cure. It's looking for cancer. So quit giving your money to cancer research. And start exercising your free will and take charge of your own personal life. Grow up into the fullness of your salvation, and you can be in health and not be sick. Now, the number five thing you need to know today is that money follows passion. When you begin to think about what you really want, the true desires of your heart, as you begin to know yourself, you'll begin to know what your special gifts and talents are, which will be things that you love, things you love to do, and things you're really good at, things you love to feel, things that make you feel fulfilled, purposeful, that make you feel important, something nobody else can do, that you feel needed and desired, these things that make you feel worthy, that make you feel loved and where you can express your love. And then as you begin to take those steps, those little baby steps towards doing these things, a path will open up to you. And as you go step by step on this path, you will find that you will make money. And you will become an independent source of your own provision. And you'll be able to live your life doing the thing that you love and the thing that you are best at doing. This will make you very happy, and you will have plenty of money. Now, the number six thing you need to know today is that Jesus is not coming again. I just was so distressed this last week. As I was channel flipping, first of all, I came across that live presentation of the Pope giving his Mass for Peace in St. Peter's Square. And I saw those over 100,000 devout Italians uniting their energies for peace. And I wondered why we weren't told about this in our country so that we could also unite our energies for peace. But the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, the Pope and President Obama made an agreement. The Pope would call for peace, and President Obama would call for a strike. And the purpose of this agreement is to give planet Earth a global choice point, whether Earth will choose the path of peace or the path of war for our future. Oh, I got so excited, I just began texting all my friends to tune into the broadcast and to join their energies with the Pope for the path of peace. And the first person I called said, ain't gonna happen. We're not gonna have peace until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. And then my oldest and dearest friend said, and I called her way back in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we had been through so many things together, but she said, I am waiting for Jesus to come, and he will bring peace to the earth. I just was devastated. All I could think about were all of the Christians in our country who are just sitting on the pew waiting either for Jesus to come again or waiting to die to go to heaven. Well, if you would look into who Jesus really is and why he really came to earth, you could be set free from this tyrannical method of domination and control that has bound the Christian church for the last 2,000 years and has made Jesus' message of non-effect. The disciples that wrote that thought that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. They misunderstood his message, that they were to be the ones who would bring in the kingdom of God on earth. And Paul tried to teach the new church that the kingdom does not come with outward manifestation, but that the kingdom of God is within us, and to whatever extent we bring out the kingdom of God here upon the earth, we will have the kingdom of God here upon the earth. But the church fathers saw that it was to their advantage to let the people continue to believe that Jesus was coming again, because this gave them the power to control the people and manipulate their lives and their money. And believing that we were doing the right thing, our autonomy as a sovereign sentient being was submitted to the church system because we thought we were wanting to have the will of God in our lives. When the will of God is for us to be manifested as a son of God and take up the work of bringing peace on earth, goodwill to men, that Jesus started. So, this just takes us back to the number one thing that you needed to know today. Grow up and become a manifested son of God and take up the work of the kingdom where Jesus left off. Let's have thousands and millions of sons of God walking the earth in the full power of God's Spirit in total dominion over the earth. So the last three things that you need to know today, number 8, 9, and 10, is a suggested program for you to begin the adventure of being a son of God. Number 8, see no evil. Number 9, hear no evil. And number 10, speak no evil. So first of all, remember, we say whether something is good or evil. We give it the title. So what if we started saying that everything was good or very good? Because when the energy of God began to coalesce and create his love objects, universes and galaxies and solar systems and seas and oceans and birds and animals and plants, God said that everything was good. And then when you and I were created, God said it was very good. Now, these are the only two standards of judgment that God has, good and very good. So if we begin to operate as the Son of God, we will see everything as good or very good. Because on a free will planet, we are the source of the energy for everything. So if we call something evil, we empower that evil. But by withdrawing our power of choice from all evil, evil will cease to exist. It's just really that simple. Don't curse the darkness. Just turn on the light. So I'm suggesting that you try this, maybe, you know, just for a week. Just this week, maybe. See no evil. Hear no evil. Speak no evil. Let everything you see be good and very good. And let everything that you hear be good and very good. And don't listen to anything negative. And speak only good things. Give a good report. Express joy and happiness to everybody. Don't tell everybody all your woe, woe, woe. Try to find one good thing or something very good that you can give a report on. Try it, because you know what? I think you'll like it. And as each and every person disengages from all appearances of evil in their life, you know what? Only the good and the very good will be left. Well, I was going to have a special guest tonight, and he was on a trip and got not feeling well. And so I have rescheduled him for next week, next Sunday night. David Hulse, my good friend David Hulse. He's an innovator in sound therapy, sound for healing. He's been my good friend for like 40 years, and I actually have been board certified as a sound practitioner myself, although I don't, you know, do it for money or have an office or anything, but I have the certification and I have the understanding of the principles of it, and we're going to be talking about that. We wrote a book together called A Fork in the Road, and we're going to go over some of the things that are in that book. And so tonight, I know for several weeks I've been telling you that all the power of heaven and earth is within you, that the God spark beats your heart, the God spark makes your lungs go in and out. And I think sometimes that whole idea is kind of overwhelming. And I had shared with you that the way that I continue to encourage myself and remind myself moment by moment that I have this power within me and that I am to operate as a full adult son of God is by speaking in tongues. And this is a language you speak by the power of God's Spirit within you. It's the absolute proof that the Spirit of God is within you. It's not a language you've ever learned. It's just you. It's the Spirit of God, the power of God, flowing through you and coming out of your mouth in a pure language to encourage you, to give you that support that you need, to have a foundation in your life where you can walk for sure, where you can know what to do and where to go in every moment of your life. And so I wanted to, again, tonight on this show, give you another opportunity to have that experience. And I'm going to play this CD of Israel. You know, he's the Hawaiian. He has that long, long, long name that starts with K that's I have no idea how to pronounce, but he's the one that did this Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And this song is, for me, he's singing in Hawaiian, but what I hear is the cry of God for his sons to rise up and grow up so that we can be manifested out onto the earth that groans and travails, if ever in a period of our history we have ever needed the sons of God, it's now. And so that you can have that encouragement and know that you know that you know that you are a son of God, just like Jesus. Jesus was just like us. And you can become, it says Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was made perfect. You can be made perfect and be grow up and become a fully manifested son of God. So I'm going to start to play the music now. And you're going to start to because in the Hawaiian language, aloha means hello, goodbye, and I love you.